It's my pleasure today to introduce our guest speaker. His name is Joshua Kim. Joshua was born in Korea, and he grew up in Orange County in California. He holds a degree from Cal State Fullerton of Bachelor of Arts, and currently is studying for his Master of Divinity degree from Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. He met his wife, Hannah, while serving at Vision Community Church in Anaheim, California, and they have one cute child named Boaz. You can go say hi to him later. So Joshua is a very good friend of mine, and many of you may remember him because he was our guest worship leader during our retreat last year as well, too. So would you all join me in welcoming Joshua Kim as he comes up and preach to us God's Word.
Thank you, Ivan. Okay. Well, actually, it's an honor to be called again because I remember it was almost a year ago that we came to praise with you guys. At the time, my wife was pretty big, in a sense, to carry a baby. And since then, it's been a while for me. I'm quite professional, I guess, in changing diapers, you know, just kind of taking care of the baby. I learned a lot, but I hope that as we go and look at a book of Joshua today, it's kind of funny because my name is Joshua, but we're going to take a look at Joshua 1. So hopefully it's not going to be something about me changing diapers, but hopefully it's about something that God wants to speak to us through a book of Joshua, about that Joshua who showed his faith with God. So if you guys have time, please find your Bible, your cell phone, whatsoever. And let's go to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 9. Okay, if you guys are ready, I'll just go along, and then you guys can follow. It says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of Hittites, and to the great sea toward going down to the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and that you will have good success. And last verse, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Let's pray. God, we gather today in this morning to hear you, God. We rather want to first surrender our understanding, the things that we hold on to, because we are from many backgrounds, but what we really desire is the truth that comes from you. So as we take this fresh look of Joshua, then would you tell us, would you teach us, would you guide us, would you lead us, and would you strengthen us to be courageous people in this time, Lord God. So Lord, anoint me as I speak, that I only desire that only your living water will come through, that only you will be revealed, that only you will be glorified in this place, God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm pretty sure that you guys are aware of this story. If you guys are not, you want to kind of raise your hand, then I'll give you a little background story of it. But because I know Pastor Ivan told me that I only have a limited time, I just want to kind of get into the point so that we could kind of understand where we are going. Who knows Joshua? Who does not know Joshua here? Any story about Book of Joshua? Okay. Joshua, well, if you hear a story about Israelites coming out of Egypt, which we call Exodus, after 10 calamities that God has performed to save Israelites, Moses takes all these people all the way to the promised land. But there, he dies. And that's where this story begins. From that point on, it's Joshua who's taking over. And he's the one in charge to make sure that these people go into the promised land, which God had promised. But this is interesting because when I first heard this message, I was in fifth, sixth grade. And, you know, I was taking tests. And, you know, some of my friends, I remember they made this joke that I'm going to ask this girl out. But this word of God right here, it says that, do not be afraid, be courageous. So I shall tell my parents that I'm going to ask this girl out. I shall tell my teacher that I'll do well in SAT because God says here, be strong and of good courage. Yes, he will give me whatever I desire. So I shall not be afraid. I'm going to go tell my parents I need a car because God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. It was kind of funny, but sometimes if we misunderstand God's promises, it really gets funny. Because what really makes our life in Christ different than something we call religion is the confidence that we have, the trust that we place in. Imagine that you are with someone you love, with your car or whatever that you do, something that you always look at whatsoever. If you don't have your desire for it, if you don't have your confidence in it, you will not look at that. You will not hang out with that person. You will not drive that car if you believe that the car is not going to move. So the confidence here is what I want to focus on today, even though there are many different aspects about Joshua. So I want to ask you this question as we begin, because I know we have a college students, and I know, I'm from Korean community, but I think it's all same in terms of how our education is supposed to be. We put so much emphasis on our education. You know, from elementary, you got to be 4.0. You go to middle school, you got to be 4.1. You go to high school, you got to be 4.5 because you got to take 5 honors class, right? You go to college, don't mess up any quiz because one quiz could mess up your 4.0. I mean, that was how I was taught. I don't know how you guys were, but if you weren't enforced on that, you guys are lucky. But most of the time, it wasn't. And I remember that question that my junior Sunday school teacher asked me. Who do you want to be, Joshua? Who do you want to be? Yeah, I want you to go home today and just write about that. And have you guys ever write that journal where you just have to write like a couple paragraphs about who you want to be? But to me, it was a big dilemma because I wrote, I'll be successful. I'll be in 30s. I have my wife. I have my kids. I'll be in 60s. And here comes this part that I just don't want to talk about. I don't want to say I'm going to die, but I don't know. What am I going to live with that legacy? His story, what am I going to say after that? I just got stuck. Because the whole purpose of education to me was success. But you know what I felt once I graduated from college? You know, I actually graduated 4.0. Oh, no one trusts me. Once you graduated and you get your diploma, I felt like everything was empty. It's like, what am I doing here? What did I achieve? Just for this paper, it says diploma. I studied all my life just to get that. It just felt so empty. I just wanted to ask that God again, the same question that my junior teacher asked me, who do you want to be? I really didn't know after that. Well, I got into a Korean company, and there is well-paid job. Hey, college students, aren't you guys getting ready to get to, you know, better working, companies or better paying job? Once I got into it, I was so lucky because the son of the director of the company just liked me. He liked me too much. He wanted to hang out with me too much, and he gave me a lot of leeway. It was easy. I was well paid. Yet, I felt like that wasn't enough. So I want to ask you guys, all of you guys, you are studying, we are going for something, but how does success looks like to you? What about meaningful life? How does meaningful life means to you? To you guys. And I believe that in today's passage, God answers those questions that we have about who and how and what it means to live your life as a Christ follower. You know, with Boaz, we went to California last month, and it was not good. There's no direct flight to California, so we have to stop by Chicago and then take another flight. The late time was about an hour, so we thought we'll get there, you know, kind of feed him and then get quick dinner, and then we take a flight and go. He didn't like the flight, even in the first. Like, he didn't like it at all. And once he started taking off, he was crying. And then I was holding on to him, and then I felt something explosive. I mean, it was very powerful, because he was sitting on my lap, and I just felt like something was going to go off my leg. And he gave us surprise explosive. We call it a big old diaper that just popped through, and it was just all over his back. And this was a small flight, and people had to kind of share one restroom at the end. We were lucky enough to have a restroom like a couple rows away. I told my wife, you cannot do this. I think you need to go in and take care of this guy, and I'll do what I can. See, there was no one lining up at the time. But once she went in, I see this whole line lining up, just waiting for it. Now, I hear one of the guys saying, hey, it's not going to happen. You just have to wait till we get to the airport. And Boaz is crying like crazy, as if my wife is beating him. So I didn't want to make that sound like that. You know, so I didn't want to make it like that. So I was giving all these fake smiles to everyone. Oh, you know, he just, you know, I don't want to say he had a diaper problem. So I wanted to say, you know, he just don't like the flight here today. I was explaining it. The second flight, right, we have to get to a second flight. But when it landed, they're delaying like 30, 40 minutes. So we got to a point where we have to run, not thinking about dinner, thinking about stopping by. There was not even an option. Now, there are many things you could do to comfort the baby, but one thing you cannot do is when baby's hungry. No matter what you do, you cannot calm him down. You got to feed him. Now, she needs to feed the baby, but when she's not fed, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So she didn't get her dinner, and the baby's getting cranky, and the whole flight was about 9 hours. My heart was shaky. I was getting panic mode here and there. My wife, I thought she was okay because she wasn't talking. Once I looked at her, I said, oh, don't ask. Don't ask. Just, it was very difficult. And, you know, just staying in Cali for 1 month, so nice, 73 degrees all day. Whole month. And then as we are about a week away to get back here, it was kind of getting to us, we don't want to go through this again. This was so much of pain. And then we just prayed, And then this is where we hold on to this verse. Be strong and of good courage. Sounds so funny to me. What are you going to do about that guy? Are you going to make sure that he doesn't, you know, pouty or he doesn't cry? And then we read one of the Google suggestions. They said, hey, give your baby Tylenol. I don't want to drug my baby to go to sleep just to simply bring a package from California to here. He's not a package. But something happened that I realized during the flight. We prayed over. The situation didn't change. But you know what changed? My attitude. Because the reason that I'm talking about this is what makes us different than others is not about the outer part, not the religious part. What really makes us different is inside, inner. Have you ever been in a situation where you are just responding to the situation, responding to the problems? You know what happens if it's like that? Where, if you look at where Moses, who was a great leader, and here is Joshua, who is about to take over, imagine the expectation he's having. It's like this. Who is the first child here? Anything that goes wrong, who's to be blamed? I don't agree with that all the time, but I'm the first child too, so is my wife. You know, there's just different expectation. If you're a second child, if you're a third, if you have a three, if you're stuck in the middle, I don't know. You're either lucky one or you might have little bit of difficulties, right? But Joshua, imagine in his perspective, have you guys ever been expected of something that you just go, oh, just leave me alone? Korean parents tend to say, you got to be dentist. Why? Because it's easiest job. It's really hard to get there. But once you get your dental office open, people will come. As long as they eat, as long as you guys got, right? And people don't brush their teeth as much. The second was be a lawyer. Or be a divorce lawyer right now. That's the trend. You know? I'm like, oh, how encouraging. Is that what we talk about at church? It's because that's what we call success. And then just drawing back. No, I don't want that. I want something that's meaningful. Something that has a meaning. But how is it different when we look at it? Why do you guys believe God when we look at it, that it doesn't look any different? It seems like it's a religion, but if it's not, if you look at it in an inner perspective, if you look at how Joshua reacted, how he handled his situation, where it's expected a lot of him, where he's in maybe being compared to Moses. Would you like to be compared to somebody? When I told my parents, what, they're pastors. But if I'm to say I grew up in non-Christian family and I told them that, hey, Dad, I feel like I'm being called to lead worship, to call to be a pastor, though you got crazy. I told you to be a dentist. I told you to be a lawyer. They won't take that lightly. Because to them, it doesn't make sense. And to us, many times, it may not make sense. When Boaz was coming back with us, I felt calm. And when you know that your husband is not shaken, your wife will not be shaken too. It's really important. It's really important who you hang out with because they tend to influence you, right? But you know why God calls us that we are the light and the salt? It's because there's something different within us. Something different within us. So when we do not react to a situation, but we react to God, and in that sense, we are reacting towards to the situation. We are no longer under that situation, but we are rather overwhelming that situation. Let me give you an example. So that when Boaz was coming, I was peaceful. It's so odd to say, in a such a stressed moment, in a such a moment where you cannot handle emotionally, or logically, because we love logic, right? But yet you feel this sense of peace from God. And that's what we want to look at today. So if you look at Joshua today, if you look at the last three verses, God says this three times. Do you guys know? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. But every time he says that, he gives you something to be courageous, to be strong. In the beginning, like I said, I thought it was just for me to do whatever I want. But if you look at it specific, be strong and courageous, and then he follows what? To meditate in his word. To follow what? His specific plan for the Israel. So what he does when he gives you strong strength and the confidence is that he gives you specific promises. He gives you promises where you could be confident about, where you could be strong about. You know what it is for us today? It's Jesus Christ. That who has courage today to speak out of your faith at school, in your house, to your friends? Who feels this strength to be able to boldly say, like Joshua, as he closes his chapter later, said that my house, I'll worship God. We will worship God. It's that courage. It's that strength. But, you know, he's still expected of to do something. People still lack maybe a trust about him. But what made him different is that when he trusts not within himself, but the promise that's given to him, it's not going to matter. You know, it's very powerful to say sometimes it's okay. It's okay. It's a common word, I guess, we are picking up as we raise our kid because we make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes I try to be gentle to him. Oops, I kind of dropped him a little bit, you know. Now I just, oh, it's okay. it's okay. Well, actually, I'm talking to myself too. It's okay if you don't have 4.0. It's okay if you don't become a top student. It's okay if you don't meet parents' expectation. Or your own expectation. if you look at it from God's perspective, it's okay. Because you may fail, but God never calls you failure. Joshua, I'm not telling you to be Moses, is what he's saying. I'm not taking you to the same route. Here, you come. Just like your brothers and sisters did. Here, you cross this Red Sea. No, that's not what's going to happen to Joshua. For you, you're going to take the people into the promised land. For Moses, you're taking those people out from the Egypt. But the servant Moses is dead. But the message is still alive. And his promise is ongoing, is what he's saying. So be courageous, because we know that our God is everlasting. Because we know that our God is forever eternal. And when we know that that God gives us promises, it's different. And what does he find to be a success in our life? You could trade anything with money. Is that true? What do people say? You could buy a really nice watch with your money, but you cannot buy time with your money. Whatever we place our value on besides God, they are temporal. But with God, they are not. And one thing that I want to tell you, which is very simple, but so confidently given to Joshua, is this: peace. How many times do we long for peace? What about love? What about joy? What about confidence? You know, they sound very, what, abstract? They sound very simple, but do you guys have that? Do you guys find that at school? Do you guys find that within yourself? When it really comes to you, when someone really asks you, do you love Jesus? Do you really say it with that confidence? Or is it because you have to? I don't like struggles, guys, but I think it's true. That many times I hold on to God when things are going bad, not good. Because I feel like I need God. But you know what happens once he kind of resolves my problem? Bye, thank you. I'll be back next time. But actually, I don't want to be back, because for me to come back to him means there's going to be another trouble. So I don't want that. You know? Kind of selfish. But when we look at God, when we know that his promise is eternal, it's really interesting, because if you look at Genesis all the way through, he promises to be the I'm God of Abraham, I'm God of Isaac, I'm God of Jacob. And in the beginning, I didn't like that, because it sounds like he's God of Israel, he's God of a particular person. It seems like he's God of one of you who loves God, that he only becomes God. No, it's not. You know what it means? When he continues on saying that I'm God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he's saying that I'm God of you today. In other words, can I be your God today? Because I am available, but are you? Are you willing to accept the truth that has been given to you? The promises, the promise giver, who is God? Are you willing to accept that he is also God of you today? Imagine once we go to heaven, they will go, oh, God of God, God of Joshua, God of Jamie, God of Hannah, God of John. Well, I tried to say some Chinese name, but I couldn't. God of Chang, God of Hao. I went to IPI yesterday. I met a guy named Hao, so I was like, I guess your name is Hao. The interesting is that when God becomes your focal point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you are good at something. It doesn't matter whether you are successful in terms of the world. When God is with you, he says, if our God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8, 31. This is not light, guys. If you really know that God is for you, that confidence that you have in him, that you don't have to worry about being compared to. You know, there's so much suicidal rate in Korea amongst college students. And this person had 4.0. But what happened? She says, I messed up one quiz. Now I can't get 4.0. There's no point in my life. No, that's not what God says. God says, I have an abundant plan for you. I have a meaning and purpose in your life. Just like I have for Joshua. But you know what God asked Joshua to be? Not Moses, we know. But it was simple as take my people from here to the promised land. He didn't ask Joshua to be, you got to be good looking, you got to be tall, you got to be good at some kind of sports. What God asked is be faithful to me, meditate upon my word, and take my people from here to there. So what is God saying to you guys today? Each one of us have a unique character. But his purpose is given to every one of you guys. Now, maybe it could change our perspective. I don't desire to be a dentist because that's success. It's rather, I desire to glorify God. So by becoming a dentist, I'll do something for God, not for myself. The perspectives change. Your purpose and meaning change. Now that when you're a dentist, when you become a successful businessman, who promised that your tomorrow will be successful? But whether the circumstances goes down or up, whether things in your life works better or not, you will not be shaken. Because there's peace that comes from the Lord. So what does it say about peace? Just one. When you're being sensitive to God, because God is the one who gives peace. He says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, but I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This is big. Whatever that comes from heaven is eternal. And what's most eternal that is given to us is Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you have two choices, blessings and blesser, who would you guys choose? I'll choose blesser, the giver. It gets more exciting because the second promise is that we know today is that he's coming back. And the promise is given to us, just like the promise that's given to Joshua that you should not be afraid of. We have hope in him because he's coming back. Whatever we feel like we are doing for, but in eternal sense, be aware and be sensitive that he's coming back. And hold on to that promises. People tend to say not by sight, but by faith. But sight, that definition is about your physical sight. The faith, you also have sense of sight. But it's a spiritual sight. You still have to look at something. How can you go? Isn't it unfair from God that he's asking you to move from point A to B and he's not showing you where? Why do we come to church? Did he say when you come to worship all the time that he'll be there? Or is it that when you have that intimate relationship with him that the religion changes to relationship? There's a purpose. There's a purpose. There's a place that we could go. And God is coming back. And that's a big promise that we should all hold on to. So continuing on with Joshua, the last thing that I want to share with you is this. As he finishes on the verse 9, he says that, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Is that conditional? Or is that a promise? How often do we forget that he's with us? It's big. It could affect us big time. I often forget that God is with me because I feel like I know what I'm going to do. I feel like I know what I'm doing. I feel like my logics tell me better. I feel like I could assess this situation. But you doing it with your friend, with someone that you know you could trust, is different than you doing it alone. God is there for us all the time, and that's what he promised. So if you look at it, he tells us to be courageous, to be strong in his promises. And he tells us more and more again that I am your God. I'm not just God of far away. I'm your God today. I'm your intimate God. And the closer you get to him, what happens? You get closer to him. What happens? You be more like God, right? Then what's our desire? That to be a Christ-like. We are the image bearer of him. The more we are close to somebody, we tend to be affected. And it really matters. When God says, I am your God, Joshua, compared to other kings of Israel, he was sensitive to God. He was sensitive. And lastly, know that he is with you. It takes your sensitivity. It doesn't matter what kind of attitude you have. It doesn't matter what kind of personality you have, what kind of backgrounds you come. Be sensitive to God in a sense. He doesn't come because of who you are. He comes because who he is. Because who he is that he gives you promises. Because of that, he's saying, I'm so confident in my promises that I want you to be confident in that. You will hit us eventually because the things that's happening in this world is asking us to speak what is not of truth. Now, how I feel is more important. How you feel, how I feel. Do they align sometimes? I had this talk because I'm a kind of bold speaker. This transgender man was speaking to me. I feel like I'm a woman. I was like, okay, so what are you asking for me? I need you to respect that. All right. But I need you to respect how I feel. I feel like you're a man. So I don't know whose feeling is correct. I don't know whose feeling is better. How do I decide this? The feeling-based generation we are in. And what does feelings do to you guys? Up and down, up and down. God is not simply a feel-good God or feel-sad God. His promises is beyond feelings, beyond emotions. It's unshakable. So I want you guys to really get this one point given to you. That is, if you meditate upon his word, the reason he's saying that is not that you could observe it and become righteous. I tried that so much because I'm from Presbyterian church and having my dad as a pastor, he always told me, go, 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 morning prayer, morning prayer, morning prayer. Oh, in Korean churches, they got morning prayer from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. You guys know what that is? You know what it is? Morning prayer from 5 to 7 a.m. We pray and then we go to school. Every day, even on Sunday. So we come 5 a.m., 7 a.m. We stay at church, we eat breakfast, and from 8 a.m., first service. 11, second service. 1, we eat lunch. And then 4 p.m., we have another service, evening service. I didn't get that. Dad, why do I have to go all this? What's the whole meaning of this? I didn't get that till I encountered God. Before then, I was doing it because I was told to, and I thought that's the way to define who I am as Christian. No, they are just the result of you being Christian. That as a result, it comes out. You love God. What do? You get closer to God. You go to the opportunity, places where you know that the presence of God is there. It's no longer a something that you work at it. It's something you enjoy, desiring, wanting to be a part of. So having the truth, guys, is very important. I want you guys to know that. Holding on to the promises, meditating on the word of God that he says in here is not rules, rituals that you have to follow. You know the book of law that this verse is talking about is the whole book from Genesis to Joshua. That's being continually be written and be kept as canonical Bible of Old Testament. And through that, what does it say? It's a big storybook. Plus God's law, plus God's, but you know, whole thing, if you summarize it, you know what it is? God's faithfulness to his people. So what happens if you meditate upon that promises over and over? You are reminded that God is faithful. That you remember, and the more you remember, you become sensitive and you live that life to be sensitive. That he's faithful to you. So he's giving the same promises to you guys. When you guys read the word of God, I want you guys to read the word of God, and that's what it is. But not the literal context just only, but what do you find out by reading the word of God? God. So you know, to simply put it, you know what it is? You know, one application for us today? As you read the word of God, ask questions. Struggle with it. But look at it not as a book, but look at it as God's intimate presence to you. He answers. He speaks, he leads, he makes us grow, and he's there with us. He does many, many things, but on one circumstances that he's never changing. Can I have a praise team come up and then have one song together as a corporate worship, and then I'll close this in prayer, but can I have a pianist? This is a song we all know. Draw me closer to you. But if you really think about just even a little bit, what the lyrics are saying to the promises that we know to Joshua that is continuing within us, I hope we really take that into us when we say, you are all I want. You are all I need. You are all I desire. Because at the end, it's very crucial where we place our hope. In you, into yourself, or God. Sing it all together. You're all I want.
You're all I want.
All the time, yes, God.
You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you, I need.
You're all I want. Yes, God.
You're all I want.
All the time,
yes. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you, I need.
Let's just sing it with our voices. You're all I want.
You're all. You're all. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for knowing that you are everlasting, faithful, that your promises endures forever. That when we focus on you, Lord, we pray that you will continue to work within us, to learn to trust in you. Maybe because sometimes it's not even the problem that you are faithful or not. Maybe sometimes we just don't want to, because we have so much confidence in ourselves, so much confidence in things we know, things we have experienced. But God, you said that who could plan their ways, Lord? Even though man could plan it, but it's you who is one carrying all this out that we desire, Lord, to find our peace in you, to find our joy in you, to find our confidence in you, Lord. That as we go to school, as we go to our family, as we go with our family, friends, the relatives and all, do we ask that you will fill our lips more of confidence with you and less of our confidence within our own secular world and the promises and the things that people teach us, Lord. So God, we thank you today for giving us your message. We thank you for your strength and your courage to proclaim that you are our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.